it's brick by brick. It's what we teach people. We have to apply ourselves, right?
And it's not lost on me how difficult it is to get people to listen to you talk about the mind, right? Because it's the last thing that we even like, and you're like the second least, right? So, you know, it's the body and health and all that stuff. People are like, oh, please shut up. But with the mind, they look at you and go, who is that fucking nut bar? You know what I mean? Like, cause it's even less so about the mind. Cause we've been taught not to talk about it, right? Don't talk about the mind. Don't talk about our feelings. Don't talk about our thoughts. Keep everything to yourself and just push through. And someday you'll either die or you'll kill yourself or, you know, whatever, or luck will have it and you'll actually accomplish something. Right. But anyway, so it's, you know,
it's itself. I find, and this is what we're getting into tonight, Joe, is itself. Yeah. Like, we identify these terms and we isolate the mind, we isolate the body, and we treat one or the other. And you and I both know the truth. I mean, you and I are professionals in our own field, no different. And, you know, some people are going to scoff at this, but no different than a heart surgeon and a brain surgeon. You know, they're still working on the body. And as expert as they are at, the thing is that one can't survive without the other. Each organ is still dependent on so many other things. Like, your kidneys fail, you die. Your liver fails, you die. Like, we're a mass of these things. And I do feel that quite often it's one or the other, not both. Right. And people, even within the community that you and I are part of, we both have individual communities, but there's a lot of crossing over. You've allowed me into your group to influence people, and you were heavily invited into my group to influence people. But I still find it going back to the old way of thinking where, I'm going to focus on my diet and I'm not going to exercise because I can't do both, or I'm going to focus on my mind and I'm not going to focus on my body right now because it's just too much. Right. So people still aren't seeing the linkage there. They're still not seeing the connection between the two. And this podcast is going to be focusing on primarily, what is losing weight? Like dropping the baggage, is it? Losing weight begins from the inside, and that's from a health perspective and a psychological perspective as well.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because we're all doing this shit, and the physical application, like how we're eating, a lot of that has to do with, you know, what we're thinking, like our psychological baggage. What are we burying down? And then in that, when we lose weight, which I've seen many, many thousands of people do only to gain it back, it's because they didn't deal with the shit on the inside.
Absolutely right.
They weren't ready to lose the weight. It was because the weight is a symptom. You deal with the symptom and the issue still exists. And that's common knowledge even within medicine, even in modern medicine.
Right.
So with the human body, the human being, right? Again, we got to stop talking about the body. The body is just the casing in which we exist. Yep. And the two of them, and a lot of what you and I are dealing with, Joe, and the reason why people have such dis-ease is because of the lack, the breakdown between the person and the body working together. Yep. And I know I often say mindfulness and things like that, but you and I both know it goes much deeper than that. And, you know, when you look into Dr. Joe Dispenza, when you look into, you know, some of the leading greats right now that are out there, they know that you're not a body – a soul with a body, right? You're not a body with
a soul,
right? You're a soul with a body,
right?
Right. And
yeah, it all comes back to energy. If we didn't have energy, there wouldn't be a body.
Right.
Right. And energy is everything that our mind is, right? Everything. Yeah. If you want to call it soul, if you want to call it God, if you want to call it universe, divine, whatever you want to call it, Buddha, it doesn't really matter. It's all energy. Right. Yeah. And our entire bodies are held together with it. And if we didn't have it, we wouldn't exist. So to imagine that none of it matters without the mind, without the energy, without, you know, the feelings and the thoughts and the emotions and being able to get to the bottom of them, be able to understand them in the way of your neuroscience or, you know, quantum physics or whatever way you want to actually take a look at them, it's all still relative, right? And even down to a to your gut mind, you know, and the studies that have shown that that's even something and people just aren't paying attention to it at all, right?
People want to understand it, but they don't want to discover it. There was a post I put up by Kerwin Ray to the group, and you commented on it, and it was the fact where, you know, the body, when the body is good, it's almost like a receiver.
Right.
You know, if if your radio or cell phone is fucked up, you you misinterpret signals. So, you know, someone could be telling you that they love you, but because your cell phone isn't getting good reception because you cheaped out on the service, you may hear something totally different.
Right.
And I'm feeling that that's the big part of my application to this whole, you know, human process is getting their body straight so that they're able to pick up these messages that life is sending them. It's flowing through them. So the receiver's not busted. So they're able to see what they're capable of. They're able to see the entire picture, not just the shit. They can change the station. There was a post that I put up again today, and I love this guy, JP Sears, right? The, the guy.
He's amazing. He's funny as hell, man. And I love him. I love listening to his stuff, and it's just so real that I love it. And most of it, I want to be able to scream it out myself, right?
Right? Yep. He posted the one I posted today, and it was recently, so you might not have seen it in the group, but it was essentially, and I've spoken about this, and you and I have.
Yeah.
He's talking about fulfilling someone else's destiny and not like it's not yours. Like, being aspiring to be someone you're not. And the fact that you can't live like that, the fact that you'll never be happy, you'll never be fulfilled trying to fulfill someone else's idea of how you should live your life.
Yes. That's some of the very first stuff I said when I came into your group, right?
Yeah.
When I came inside, some of the very first stuff I said was, you know, encouraging the members to be able to take a really close look at where they want to go and what their goals would be and the reasoning for why they were there, right? So when you talk Simon Sinek's why, then it's, you know, not his why, right? And not Neil's why and not Joe's why and not anybody else's why. It's your why. It's your own reasoning. If you can't find your own state, if you can't understand the reasoning or the rationale for why you want to be better, look better, have better, do better, then you're lost and you need to pause. You need to pause and step back for even half a second and go, wait a minute, then who else am I doing this for? Why am I doing it, right? I might as well eat the goddamn pizza. Why am I, you know, saying that I'm going to deprive myself, or why am I going to rip my muscle tissue apart with weights, or why am I going to do any of it if I have absolutely no idea whatsoever why I'm doing it? And if none of it is for me, then go sit on the couch.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to find your own way. You need to find your own reasoning. The doctor told me I need to lose weight or I'm going to die is not your why.
Right.
That's not your state. That's not your purpose.
Why, you know, why do you want to live? Like that's, that's the
exactly. Exactly. It's not,
and I find that, Joe, that people are eating so that they don't die. They're not eating to live.
Sure. Well, and it's, you know, and thank the internet for that even. I mean, you know, it's like, well, I need to eat turmeric because it's, you know, I'm going to live now if I eat turmeric. Well, no, first of all, too much of it is toxic. But, you know, eat the right amounts at the right times with other proper foods and other, you know, like, you know, whether it's cinnamon or, you know, kale, or whether it's a cucumber or just eat your damn carrots or get out in the sun a little bit. Like all of this stuff is just flooded into people. Right. And so then they get on this thing and they're not pausing, right? They see the next thing online and they're like, okay, now, you know,
if someone else's next thing and they jump on that.
And even that drives me insane, and not you saying it, but the the premise of it, that, you know, somebody else's next thing. Look, I have a multitude of things. You know this about me. You know that in my kind of practice within the mind, you know, look, I'm trained in NLP. I'm trained in cognitive behavior. I'm trained in rational motive behavior. I do hypnotherapy. I'm certified in Reiki, you know, and of course I'm a master practitioner of mindfulness. But if I was just the mindfulness guy, then it wouldn't matter what you came to me with. I would try to tell you to just be in the here and now, and that would be it.
Yeah.
And that would not be enough. It would be like if everybody who came to you got from you, go eat carrots. It's not enough. But there are so many people out there. And look, I don't want this podcast or this episode to be about bashing everybody else who's out there, because you know, I'm also on a journey of trying not to judge anyone. So the irony is not lost on me. But what I'm seeing so much out there in social media is that people will pick one thing because it's there are also coaches that are strategizing this for other coaches and saying, pick one thing and niche down to it and then be the best at it. Well, right. The problem is, if you're not explaining that to people, they don't know that you're just trying to be the best at something. They think that it's all that there is. So if they right. see someone standing on a soapbox telling them, eat carrots, eat carrots, eat carrots, they think that all they need to do is eat carrots, and then everything goes completely sideways. And it's no different than the mind, right? It's the same thing.
It's zealotry, Joe. It's zealotry. Like, people lock onto an idea. Like, I'm downtown and I see a guy on the street corner holding a sign saying, if you marry a woman that's divorced, that's adultery in the eyes of the Lord, right? Whoop. Right? So, I mean, right. it's really just understanding, and we've talked about this before, but I just, in regards to, we have tools. You know, yes. People come to me and they're like, well, what do you mean you want me to do this, or you don't want me to do ketosis? I thought ketosis is good. Yeah, right. It's good for some people, but it's not right. necessarily good for you because of your goal, because of what you're right. looking to do. But right. I find, Joe, that people don't want to take the time to learn about what it is that they actually need. They're not. And even within the community, and you've experienced this, mm-hmm. is people, they just want to be told what to do, or they think that's what they want. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, the sustainability of that is zero. It just doesn't happen that way. Never did, never will.
Right.
But it's very saleable. As opposed to, you know what, we're going to hunker down. And yes, there's going to be multiple stages of maybe intense training, you know, things like that. And then we'll cool the jets a little bit. But in no fucking way, no shape or form, are you ever going to be able to let up on the gas entirely. You continuously have to develop. You have to be better. And you know, there's no sugarcoating it. It's not a 6-week, 12-week, you know, plan where at the end of this, there's going to be a ticker day parade. All the answers are going to reveal themselves. You're going to be the winner. And then, you know, you can just sit on your hands. Mm-hmm. Right. And that has got my panties in a big frigging bunch right now. Is
Brother,
how many,
tell.
Right?
You're fired how, up. I love it.
Right. But how many people out there right now are, you know, and they don't see the effort that comes into us as a mm-hmm. coach that we mm-hmm. offer. In mm-hmm. regards to, you know what, this one person, you're not my only client. There's many. I see 100 clients at Simply for Life. I've got over 100 people that I work with online. Mm-hmm. And there's my heart and soul goes into this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I know the same with you as well. And mm-hmm. we're, you know, yes, we have to make a living, but this is what we've been through mm-hmm. and where we are right now. You and I have been through a lot in our lives, and we're here, and we chose this line. Not because it's easy, hell no, but because it's the right thing to do and we're very good at it.
And largely thing, because there was no one there for us when we needed it. And we saw that and we right? watched people fall all around us, right? And it, right? it was driving me nuts, but no pun
literally
intended.
Literally and figuratively, right?
Yeah, that's right, absolutely.
But yeah. has it stopped for you? And I guess this is where the reality is, and what I want to really get across in this particular podcast is the fact that people they don't understand that self-betterment does not stop.
Right.
Self-betterment is a continuous thing.
Well, it stops when you die, right? Depending on what you believe yeah. about energy. And yeah. so, and you know, and not to deflate you in any way, because this is not how this next statement is meant at all. But, you know, I almost don't even want to blame everyone else for not doing it initially, because we as a society over the past, you know, 60 years have taken every opportunity to tell people, to teach people, to, you know, to show the next generation that they didn't have to do anything. That everything was done for them, right? Yeah. Fast food, speedy checkouts, you know, convenient food items, you know, on dry shelves, all sorts of different things that we've shown people, you know, they didn't have to save for money anymore because credit products grew bigger and more common, right? And easier to attain, so or obtain. And so, you know, all of these things have sort of happened to the point where, you know, and look, not to play conspiracy theorist, but there would be part of it that if you look at our industrialized school system, it's the exact same way, right? Teach yeah, everybody yeah. to be the same, teach everybody to understand, you know, to be a certain way and for everyone to think a certain way and to move forward in a slow, methodical manner and listen to what you're being told. Right. So then a couple of... you know, sidearms. A couple of Mavericks come out on the scene. That sounds kind of precocious, but anyway, you know, here we are, and we're trying to promote, you know, thinking for ourselves. And look, people listening to this, you know, you can message me if you want with a little bit of hate. I'm not hating on you in the sense that, you know, I think that you're lazy or you're stupid or any of that, because I, you know, that's not how I feel at all. However, I do agree with what you're saying, Neil, in that people, you know, they're looking for the quick fix, right? We're all looking for the pill. We're all looking for, and that's in both of our industries, right?
Yes.
So everyone, look, I had two calls today that had to do with, you know, medicines or opportunities to take supplements that have to do with the mind. And of course, I'm not licensed to be able to give that kind of advice. But certainly what I suggested to both people was to, you know, to weigh the pros and cons and make sure they had every bit of information before they chose to do something. Now, neither of those were a serious type of situation where it was, you know, potentially, you know, harm to themselves or others if they didn't take it or any of that. Because that sort of scenario, I always recommend that, you know, they listen to their therapist or psychologist or psychiatrist and jump at least until such time when they can safely be removed from it. But these were other supplemental types of scenarios that I was like, look, what if you just took opportunity to do this, right? What if we talked about meditation? What if we talked about, you know, slowing things down? What if we talked about lessening your anxiety or moving you away from depression? What if we worked on some of your PTSD? I mean, these are all the things that we can be doing. And it's funny, you know, you talked at the very beginning of this part of this conversation around, you know, even learning. And some would laugh at the fact that before and twice now during the past few years of me learning the majority of what I've learned that wasn't experiential, I've been reading and listening and studying and doing workbooks from Jim Quick. Do you know who Jim Quick is?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So, yeah. So Jim Quick, right? I mean, he teaches people how to learn, right? Really.
Yeah.
And look, before I learned and then twice in the midst of my learning, I've gone and taken courses on how to learn better.
Yeah.
Right. So not only am I looking to learn, I'm actually looking to learn better so that I learn how to learn so that the learning I'm taking is better for me. Right.
That's a lot of learning.
Right. Well, it is a lot of learning, buddy. Trust me.
But let's go deeper. Let's go deeper here.
Go ahead. Okay?
So the depth below that, Joe, and mm-hmm. where I want to gravitate towards right now is ownership. Like mm-hmm. it's not like people aren't lazy, but or anything like that. People are not taking ownership.
Nope.
They're not, right? They are to blame for everything that happens in their life. And Right.
Or if the opportunity is there
for
to
not
know,
knowing. It's still
it.
Your dude, yeah. It's still your fault if you're speeding. Yeah. You get pulled over by a cop. Oh, I didn't know this the posted speed limit.
Well, yes.
Yeah. It doesn't matter, right?
Right.
And this is what a lot of really good people speak upon is mm-hmm. the fact that, you know what, wherever I'm at, whether it's in mm-hmm. a pile of shit or standing on the top of the mountain, it's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
I put myself there, and
yep.
the lack of knowledge and I use ignorance, but not in the derogatory term.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, guys, there's information out there. There's people, there's professionals that can help you identify what is relative to you, what
yep.
is relevant to you. But the thing is, you first need to start taking ownership. I hear a lot of blaming. I hear a mm-hmm. lot of blaming. I hear a lot of circumstances where I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that and I couldn't do that.
Right.
Well, that's right.
Right.
You couldn't. And, you know,
right.
I refer back to the Henry Ford quote, those who say you can and those who say you can't are both right.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that there's a lack of ownership when it comes to health. I see it mm-hmm. on a daily basis. I've,
mm-hmm.
you know, heart disease, diabetes, these things that are chronically taken
right.
over decades, Joe, not
right.
weeks, not months, not days.
Yep.
But decades.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, now you're blindsided by it. You're T-boned at the intersection. How did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has to do with the fact that you're not taking responsibility of your life.
Right.
You're letting other people take responsibility of your life. And this goes back to the very beginning of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What we were getting into is weight
mm-hmm.
loss.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What is weight loss? It is not the physical burning of adipose tissue due to a calorie deficit. It's not the law of thermodynamics that causes weight
mm-hmm.
loss. It's the clearing and the identification of oneself and standing up for yourself. So it's not about losing weight. It's about bringing yourself to the top of the heap. The weight is represented. It represents you being buried down in your life, prioritizing so many other things on top of yourself. And then when you have time at the end of the day, then, or someone's yelling at you and forcing their priorities on you. Like when a doctor makes your health your priority, it's not your priority. Right. You're doing it still to appease the doctor.
Prescription,
it took the doctor yelling at you and saying, you know, you're going to die and holding you over a barrel. Right. So we need to start to take responsibility of this. But how we do this is start unpacking. We start unpacking the mind. We start unpacking the body. We remove the things that are weighing us down. And the physical representation of that is stress, is your body fat. But what causes body fat? Body fat is hormonally driven for the most part. It's eating too much shit and not getting enough nutrition. And the body gets stressed. It's like being in a very noisy environment and not being able to hear anything. But there's a lot of talking going on. There's a lot of information, noise, but there's no comprehension. And then that stress starts to build up, and the body presents, or how stress represents itself in the body is body fat. It's stressing itself out. So it could be body fat, you know, it could be visceral fat around the organs. It could be fat subdermally between the muscle and the skin. But either way, that fat is indicative of a deeper, more nefarious thing going on. And a lot of it is you being buried alive.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
Right.
And you're clawing with your fingers instead of using the shovel that's laying right beside you.
Right. Or the fact, like, there's a story I read years ago, and it's one of these things that just really resonates with, you know, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. Mm-hmm. But there's a story about a donkey. Donkey falls in the well. It's in this old village, and it's an old farmer, and there's an old donkey. So the donkey falls into the well, and the villagers, you know, they get together. They can't get the donkey out of the well. So they start to bury the donkey. And I think you know how this story goes, this parable. So they start shoveling dirt into the well, and they're shoveling and shoveling and shoveling. They're going to close up the well, bury the donkey, and just be done with it. And then one of the farmers happens to look down, or villagers or whatever looks down, and they sees that the donkey's rising up to the surface, because every time there's a shovel load of dirt thrown down on top of the donkey shakes it off, steps on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that perspective that could have gone either way. Mm-hmm. The donkey could have taken the dirt on top of them and looked at the dirt as they're throwing dirt on me, or the donkey saying, "Oh, aren't they nice? Look at them. They're helping me because they're throwing dirt on me."
Yep.
Right. And change the outcome because of the perception. And it was Wayne Dyer that says, change the way you view the world and world change changes. The world. Yep. Essentially change in the world changes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, weight loss, Joe, and this is why you and I are going to be doing more of these, is because I need people to see the connection between the two, not just one or the other, right? But I often talk about fitness and nutrition, how a healthy body has to move,
right?
But health is in so many different levels. The body is just it's basically just the machine. So my job is more of a mechanic.
Yep.
I'm here to get the machine running, but you're there to help them to determine, well, why do I even have this machine? Like, where am I going?
Yeah, that's part of it, right? So for me, part of it is, you know, where's the machine going? You know, and is everything ready? Do we have a chart? Do we have a map? The other side of it is, like, if you're looking at it and understanding, have we removed everything that we need to remove, right? So if the machine is even having a hard time going because we got so much shit packed into it, well, you know what, guys? We're only leaving. We're only going away for one night, right? We can take four suitcases and throw them the hell out, right? Like, let's lessen the load a little bit. Let's take a really close look at the map as well and make sure that we're actually, you know, the markings on the map are where we're going, not where the last person who had the map went. Right. So there's a lot of that for me. And look, when you look at ownership, it's very much, very much what I said about my PTSD diagnosis. I mean, you know, it's circumstantial in the sense that, yes, I responded on X amount of calls over 12 years. But the reality is that I had tools that I could have utilized. right? That sure, you know, and it could be argued that, you know, back in the day, it was sort of frowned upon to really take a closer look at your mental health in the first response, careers, if you will. But the bottom line is, didn't matter. It was there. The tools
That's
were there,
the dirt on
right?
Top of
the
tool,
exactly. The tools there. Were there. I could have used them, right? I could have found meditation. I could have found counseling. I could have found anything else. Instead, I chose to shove it down, right, and just keep hiding it and kept going and keep doing, and you know, and then finally one day I cracked. So you know, and that story is told a million times every single day around the world. So it's no different. It's absolutely no different. You know, I'm exercising all that I can, and I'm still not losing weight. What's going on? Or I'm exercising as much as I can, but like every 3 weeks, I'm sick as a dog. Like, what's, you know, I catch the flu, I catch the cold, I catch whatever. There are all sorts of signs and signals, right, that are telling us that there are other things that are wrong. So is it stress? Is it anxiety? Is there depression? Is there something going on that's, you know, triggering our fight or flight? Like, what is happening, right? And you know, I mean, because you've been around this over 20 years, you can recognize some of those signs in people, and you can tell them, hey, look, are you seeing a therapist? Are you seeing anyone? Do you know, what's going on inside your mind, right? Go see
and
Joe,
the look
for
in their faces,
sake, you know, like whatever, right? But yeah.
But they oftentimes, Joe, it's a sales pitch on my end to be able to convince them to do that because they just want to lose weight.
Well, that's
right?
Got nothing
well,
to do
why
with
can't
it. Yeah.
I just lose weight? And you know, their guts and dysbiosis and all this stuff, and it all has a psychological connection where, you know, their body is just so tensed up. Like there was an example that I heard recently, and it was absolutely brilliant in regards to nutrition and body inflammation and why when your mind is distraught. So what your mind sees, your body believes. Your body doesn't see through your eyes. It sees through hormones. So when you're stressed, your body's stressed. So you're inflamed and your body goes into this hyperprotective state. So imagine your cells are like little castles. And the immune system is out there and is defending this castle. So the cell has signaled for the guards to this stuff, and they're defending castles. They're defending your healthy cells. But meanwhile, the healthy cells are left unguarded. They're empty. They're just there. They're exposed because your forces are out fighting the invading, you know, pathogen, the viruses and things like that. And your body, believe it or not, when you eat food, your body sees it as a pathogen. Your body sees food as the enemy. It attacks it, and then it realizes
it's foreign.
That it's safe. It's foreign. Yeah. Exactly. It's exogenous. Yep. It's introduced into the body through the gastrointestinal tract. So your immune system is constantly fighting the food. But if you eat regularly and you eat food, it's almost like they pull up and then they draw their guns, but then they realize, oh, these guys are friends, and they drop their guard.
Right.
So it's a very instantaneous thing. But imagine this. Now, if you're doing that, say you're at a hypervigilant state, you're stressed, you've got all kinds of guilt and memories and everything. So everything that you do, your body is just, it's gnarly. Like it's really, really on guard all the time. Your cells are going to have their drawbridges up. They're not going to let anybody in or out. They go into a defensive mode. So there's no nutrition getting in. And if there is, it's marginal at best. So the body becomes weak. And, you know, I've hunted before in my life. And when you come across an injured, scared animal, it is voracious. Like it is just, it's crazy. And it's not rational. You're trying to help it out of a trap or it's caught somewhere, you know, antlers are locked together, but it's just not having any part of it.
Right.
And I find that that's what's happening to a lot of people is their gut is in dysbiosis because their mind is disheveled. They're lost for a multitude of different reasons, and the body's just simply reacting to it. So no matter what you feed your body, and I am a nutritionist, no matter what you feed your body, no matter how hard you exercise your body is not going to respond the way that you want it to because you have not addressed what your body needs you to address. So you're doing it. You've become a dictator. You know, you're forcing food down its gullet that it's not ready to eat yet in the portions that maybe it's not ready to eat, or you're starving it. You've removed the food, or you're exercising it. You're punishing it. You're making it go to the gym. You're putting it through this physical, this physical outburst, these acute outbursts, and in a hope that it's going to, you could beat it into submission. Mm-hmm. Right. And what needs to happen for a lot of people is they need to have someone to be able to talk their way through this, so that they, that this individual, whether it's, you know, yourself or someone that's in your related mm-hmm. fields, to be able to say, okay, you know, this is what your body's telling you. We need to start focusing on the mind. And then when we clear a few things out of there and you come to terms with mm-hmm. some stuff, then all of a sudden the body's going to drop mm-hmm. a notch, and it's that gate's going to come down a little bit, and you're going to be able to get a little bit of nutrition in, and then you're going to get a little bit more energy, and then you're going to get a little less inflammation, and you see how it works.
Yeah. And add in some dopamine and, you know, like serotonin and then everything. Yeah. I mean, everything that starts happening as we start to release, right. And we start to kind of drop a lot of that anxiety and fear and all of the more negative emotions, right. That keep us in that state, that keep us in that frazzled state. Right. I mean, you know, you hear people saying, you know, that are at the gym, and you'll hear them talking. You've heard them talking. You've been in and out of gyms for, you know, most of your life, like I have, right? And you hear yeah. some of the craziest statements coming from people that are like, "Oh, I had to come work out." Well, why did you? Why? What's going on? I just had to. I'm so stressed right now. I'm right in the middle of all this stuff, and they spend the entire workout talking about all the things that have got them stressed right the hell out, to the point where, as they're headed for the showers, they seem more stressed than when they walked into the gym. Right. And then they're talking like 2 and 3 days later, how sore they are. I can't believe how unbelievably sore I am. I've been in a gym for 3 years. I don't understand what's going on. I must have really worked out that day. No, you didn't. You worked out under completely false pretenses. So stressed out that your body didn't know what the hell was going on. Right. All it knew. Yeah. And again, to circle back to what you were saying, our bodies don't know anything that it isn't told by the mind. Right. And primarily the unconscious mind. Right. So our unconscious or our subconscious, you know, depending on what state they're in, it's telling them everything. And so I say to people, even, and by the way, I need to say kudos, you know, in saying, look, you know, the body needs the mind. Well, vice versa, you know, the mind also needs that support of the nutrition and the muscle tone right. and, you know, all the exercise and all the things to be able to support it while it's trying to, trying to function. Right. But when we look at people who say, you know, they're at the gym and they're working out beside you, and they're like, "Oh, this effing gym, I can't wait till I'm finished with all of this exercise bullshit. I'm trying to lose weight and I'm trying to this, blah, 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 blah. This never works for me. I've tried this over and over, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada." Well, they go on with this, and I sit just in awe of the fact that they don't have anything better to be doing with their lives than wasting their time sitting in a gym right now. Because if they are consciously feeding those thoughts to their unconscious mind is storing that as truth, because the unconscious mind doesn't know any better. The unconscious mind is a computer. Right. Right. The conscious mind is us at the keyboard. Right. So then the unconscious mind is the computer, the data storage, let's say. And so, so everything else that happens, every other, you know, peripheral device, everything that's connected to that data storage or to that computer operates based on what's fed in for data. Right. And that's our body coming from the unconscious mind. And so if the unconscious mind is telling the body, well, you know, the conscious mind just typed into the keyboard that, you know, this never works, I never lose weight anyway, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it feeds that in, stores it as truth or as data. And then the body goes, "Well, what the hell? You know, we'll go through the motions if you want, but this isn't going to work." Now, if there are 100 people listening or 1,000 right now, I can tell you that 99% of them just went and rolled their eyes at me for saying that. But I'm telling you, people, there's science behind this bullshit. So, there is absolutely science behind this. You know, the unconscious mind tells us what to do as a body and tells us what's going on. And so if the unconscious mind is hearing that, you know, I hate all of this green crap that Neil's got me eating anyway, you know, and it's, none of it tastes right, none of it goes down right, I always have bloating with it, I always have this, I always have that, and it never works anyway. I tried one of these a couple of years ago and it didn't work. I actually gained weight.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, they're just basically setting their body to follow the same behavior.
And you watch 3 and 4 weeks later, they will start to gain weight, just like they said, because they consciously told their unconscious mind that it's what was going to happen. And the unconscious mind puts stuff to bed that it understands and that it accepts. But the stuff that it doesn't accept, or the stuff that it sees as negative or doesn't understand, right, it keeps bringing back up to the surface. Right. So as long as
to process it,
because it wants to get it processed. It's kind of like the errors. You know, if any of you use Microsoft, you're going to be flooded with errors all the time. That's a little joke from the Mac guy who used to use Microsoft all the time. So, you know, it's qualified. Same here, buddy. But look, so all of those errors have to keep popping up because it's stuff that's not resolved. Right. And that's what our unconscious mind does. It's checks and balances. It's data storage. And so it helps us operate, because if we didn't have the unconscious mind, we wouldn't breathe. The heart wouldn't beat. I mean, there would be all these things that we would be so inundated with every other nerve ending. You know, what is it? 2 million senses throughout the day from nerve endings in our bodies. Just processing that alone, we would have no time to do anything else. There'd be no time to pick the kids up, have a job, eat, do anything. Right.
Right. Dude, we'd be
eating exactly. Like, there'd be no chance to do anything. Our heart wouldn't beat. You know, we'd have to be trying to think, oh shit, I need to beat my heart again. So all of that stuff is automatic, right? And that goes back to automaticity and mindfulness. But all of that is automatic, and if it's not happening, right, we're dead. So that's what the unconscious mind helps with. But what people still aren't realizing, and they're not listening to, is the fact that that unconscious mind also stores all the negative stuff as truth. So if you are telling it that this isn't going to work anyway, then guess what? It's not going to work anyway.
Right. Or if you're putting it under the gun, if you're saying do or die, I need to do this. I hate myself. I need to lose weight. I hate the way I feel. I need to eat this. Then the body starts to see it unconsciously as punishment. Yep. So whether it's a carrot or a ring ding, your body is going to look at it and react to it in a different manner. And I'm going to refer to a study, and I can't remember the name of the study, Joe, but you might have heard me talk about this insignificant little study where they basically put an individual in a sensory isolation room. Okay, so they designed this room they put an individual in there, a male, 36 years of age, and they put this individual in there with a meal. And the person ate the meal, but while they were eating the meal, they flooded his senses with like flashing strobe lights, loud, aggressive music, derogatory terms were being yelled at him. There were horrific images on the screen in front of him, you know, the putrid smells and all of this, you know, everything like that. And he ate the meal, and then they drew blood to determine inflammatory markers just, you know, afterwards. And then the following day, they brought him back and they gave him the same meal, same person, the same meal. But they changed the environment. They put him in this room and there were beautiful floral scents. There was ambient lighting, soft music, beautiful images on the screen. People spoke very nicely to him, complimented him. Right. And
it's not going to matter.
Then they drew blood. Yep. And then they drew blood. And the way that the body saw the meal was totally different. It was totally different. It was like meal one with everything that was going on, the body responded to it. The inflammatory markers were through the roof, like it was eating something that was allergic to or was afraid of. Meanwhile, he ate the same meal the next day in a different environment, and his body responded very differently to it. And, you know, you see this with experiments that they've done with rice. You know, the two jars of rice, and rice contains the water, right? So it's cooked rice. And they spend days and days and days, you know, berating and yelling and swearing and cursing and sending negative energy to one jar. And the other jar, they compliment it and they do all this, you know, beneficial stuff, all this. And you could see that the mold starts to grow on the rice that's, right, being treated poorly with the negative energy. And I don't think that that's being talked enough in nutrition and in regards to health. Where if you like the coaches and the diets and things like that people follow, they all work if you believe that they work.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing is like if you, oh, this is great. I feel fantastic. The food is great or the exercise is great. I love my coach. I'm connecting with it. I feel better about myself. And all of a sudden shit starts to work, whether it's Weight Watchers or whatever. So I think that's the big separating point between all of these is that they all work. Like all tools work. It's just, does the tool, and you've heard me say this a zillion times, does the tool match the person? And I feel that people don't know what it is. Like a person like you can help them determine, okay, well, what are you renovating? Like, is right? What are you doing? And then once they start to figure that out, then they can start to identify with a tool. And that's where I come in handy is, okay, so this is what you're looking at. So maybe this, and then maybe that. We try different tools. And it's that whole discovery process, Joe, that I think that people like you and myself, and in particular you and myself, that are very, very good at, because we haven't had an easy road getting to where we are. We had to try a lot of different things, right? Before we found things that fit us. And right. And when they do fit us, we're 100% certain. We're like, this is good. This is what I need. But we're not so hellbent on the process on the tool that we forget about the process. Right. Like, I'm willing to put a tool down to pick up another tool because I know it's not about the tool. It's about the renovation.
Well, that also made us both stellar first responders. I mean, you know, you don't survive as a first responder if you can't put down one tool for the sake of another when you see that one's not working. And you and I were both fed numerous cookie cutter bullshits, you know, when trying to quote unquote get better, right? With the things that we struggled with in our lives as we were growing and evolving. And so that was the other, you know, frustrating challenge that brought us both to where we are today, right? Is not willing to accept all the cookie cutter stuff that wasn't working, and realizing that there was absolutely a different way, and knowing in our hearts, you know, even on the hard days, and look, some of the hard days, you and I have both had conversations with each other where on the hard days, it's like, man, maybe we should just pack it the hell in. And I'm not talking about business or our practice. I'm just talking about life in general, right?
Life.
And where we've just been like, oh man, you know, but at the same time we knew, right? And you keep going. And so, you know, the struggle and the hardest part in mine that I know is absolutely one of the hardest in yours as well is when I'm talking to someone in the beginning and I can see that they truly don't have any belief left in their ability to do any of this, right? And so part of the challenge, part of the upside to having someone new in, you know, in nutrition and wellness is that if that's what they're looking for and that's what who they've come to first, at least I know that they're clinging to something, right? They're holding on to something and they're at least trying to get somewhere. The challenge then for me is to try to help them understand that it's not about lose the weight first and then we get your mind better. It's if nothing else, let's do it at the same time, right? So, you know, it's great that you've got Neil. It's great that you're doing these things. Don't stop, please, right? Keep it going. Keep the momentum going. Let's keep the nutrition going. Keep buying those groceries and following his lists and so on. But at the same time, you know, let's get you to a point where you believe in yourself today and yesterday, not that you believe in yourself 3 months from now, right? Because 3 months from now never ever gets here, right? And so you're just going to continue spinning on that wheel and you're going to wonder why you keep going up and down and sideways and stuff's just not coming together for you. And that's the frustrating part is when you And a lot of mine, you know, a lot of my sessions are, especially in the midst of COVID, a lot of my sessions are all video. I try not to do audio if I can help it at all because I want to be able to see their faces. I want to be able to see their eyes. I want to be able to see their body movements when we're talking, right? And their reactions to things. And when I'm asking those questions that I can see that there's very little hope in there, you know, that's the part that, you know, I still take a little bit of that home with me because, you know, it's hard to see another human being who just really doesn't have any hope anymore in themselves, right? You know, you can say you've got no hope in humanity and that's one thing, but if you've got no hope in yourself, that's a hard road. And so,
And people misconstrue hope and frustration. Mm-hmm. Like they confuse the two. It's okay to get frustrated. Absolutely. And frustration, it's part of the whole process. You get frustrated and it can force that open. It's like prying a car open to get on the inside. Like it's a motivator. But the thing is that people are taught that inflammation, frustration, you know, difficulty, challenge it's not supposed to be like that. It should be easy, Joe. It's like, why hasn't it happened yet? And, you know, this is where I know you and I get frustrated. It's like, it is happening. Mm-hmm. Stop focusing on what isn't happening and start focusing on what is happening and where your energy goes or where your attention goes, your energy flows. Right. But yet it's just, and you get these little spurts from people. Oh, I feel great. You know, I'm not bloated today. No, I'm not down in weight, but you know, I've got a good day. And then it's not even 24 hours later. And all of a sudden they've let their guard down. And now the negativity creeps in. Why haven't I lost weight? I'm so frustrated. And their body hears
this.
So imagine a child that's doing their absolute best. Say they're drawing you a picture. Right. So your children are sitting at the table and they're drawing you a picture. And all of a sudden you come up and you say, well, that's not what I had in mind. That's a ridiculous picture. It doesn't even look anything like me. What are you, an idiot?
Right.
Okay. This is what we're saying to our bodies. The body is doing its best to get its feet back under itself, to house your head up, to hold your head up high, and to give you the energy so that you can start sorting through this pile of shit that has accumulated inside there over the years because you didn't take ownership of it. You didn't deal with it. You put it off in the catch-all drawer, right? And now it's time for a renovation, and you have to go through that drawer and you have to sort stuff out, what's going to be kept and what's going to go. But the thing is your body up until that point, maybe it sees weight loss as number 18th on the priority list. And it's working its way down, and it's going through some really tough stuff right now. It's dealing with all kinds of things that are happening inside of us that we know nothing about consciously, unconsciously we do. So the body is dealing with that, but yet it's not on our conscious schedule. We wanted weight loss number one. I want you to do what I want you to do. I want you, little boy, little girl, I want you to draw the picture that I want you to draw, not the one that you want to draw, not how you see me. I want you to draw a picture of how I think you should see me.
Yeah. If they address the boy or girl at all, you know, if they even address them, if they even say anything, and that's even worse, right? Cause that's what we're doing. Yeah. We're ignoring it. Right. And that's even worse, you know, and man, it's such a, I mean, it's really cool the way that you put that, because, you know, the other side of it is that's exactly our conscious and unconscious minds, right? People don't realize, and I won't go way off on this rant again because we did it eight minutes ago, but, you know, I'll start to sound like a pre-recorded session, but it's, you know, when we're saying these things to ourselves, the unconscious mind is listening, people. If you don't believe me or if you don't know who in the hell I am, go look it up. Right. I know we started this by saying don't be looking everything up and just believing it, but go look. You'll find enough. They'll find enough sources out there if they start researching some of this in neuroscience. They'll find enough. There are tons and tons and tons all around the world, you know, regarded universities and doctorates that are studying this stuff. And they will see that this emerging understanding, a much deeper and more graphic understanding that has ever existed before in the study of neuroscience, that the unconscious mind is listening. It's like like the 8-year-old sitting in the living room who, no matter how many times you call for dinner, doesn't hear their goddamn name. And the first time you start talking about something that quietly to your spouse that the kids aren't supposed to hear, the 8-year-old is like, what, who's that? What are you talking about?
Right.
And they hear every single word. Well, that's our unconscious mind, right? The conscious mind doesn't even think that the unconscious mind is listening. And then it says, oh, you're such an idiot. Like, what are you doing? You can't even get this right. Or you can't this, or I'm so fat, or I'm so ugly, or I'm so depressed, or I'm so upset. I can't, you know, this, I can't that, I'm so stressed. Your unconscious mind picks it all up and stores that shit for you for later. So even when things start to look really good, all of a sudden, knock, 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 there's your unconscious mind popping up with all the shit that you fed it, right? That you didn't address yet, that you're expecting to be able to just hope it forgets. Well, you know what? Your unconscious mind does not forget. So unless you're willing
here's another scenario linked to that, Joe, is, again, you know, delving into the unconscious mind and how it affects us on a physical basis. But, you know, someone gets their back up against the wall. Something happens to them in their life. And the first thing that they do is they ditch their body. They ditch themselves, right? So all of a sudden, so your body, believe it or not, and people laugh at me when I say this, but your body has abandonment issues.
Yeah.
Every time life gets tough. You're a fair weather friend to it. You ditch it. You ghost it. And then you leave it there to clean up your shit or just wade through it, right? And it's demoralizing, so that every time you come up against something, your body goes into this defensive mode, right? And it goes and it starts to protect itself. Oh, you know, so and so is going to leave me again, so here I'm going to start packing for when they do, right? I'm going to start hoarding shit now because it's only a matter of time and this person's going to leave me. So it's like this emotional detachment that we have on an unconscious level, because we make the conscious decision that, okay, I'm not going to work out, or I'm not going to eat right, or I'm not going to get good sleep, or I'm not going to, because life is just too busy. And what difference does it make? And I'm going to absorb myself in exogenous situations, like exterior circumstances that I have no control over. And I'm going to neglect the one thing in this world that I do have control over. And one thing that controls, believe it or not, the way that I look at the world.
Self.
Exactly. And it is the biggest issue right now is people, they're neglecting themselves. Right. And in that neglect is where this dis-ease comes in, right? Disease or illness is the absence of health. And nothing can be healthy if it's neglected. You neglect the plant dies. You neglect a pet mm-hmm. dies. You neglect your relationship, the relationship dies. You neglect going to work, neglect your job, you lose your job. So where in this hierarchy of things does it become okay to neglect oneself?
Right. Well, it's everything that we consider right now that's either selfless or selfish, right? So society tells us that when we look after self, we're being selfish. Right? And they're telling us that if we forsake all else for the sake of them, then we're selfless, and we hurrah that, right? We celebrate that. Oh, look at how selfless she is, or look at how selfless he is, giving everything that he is and can be and was and has for everyone else. But that shit only lasts so long, and then you're done, right? And so then when we try to look
you can't pour from a cup.
Absolutely cannot.
You can't pour from a cup.
Absolutely cannot. That's right.
Right?
Boom.
Mic drop. Nailed it. That was right. Yeah, that was.
No, seriously, my mic just dropped. No, I'm just kidding. No, but it's true, right? There's the levity that they're going to get in the show. That was it. 10 seconds. but look, it really is. And that's the whole point, everyone. I mean, it's look, and there are a million different analogies that we can make, and you know, the planes going down, and you know, put on your own mask first. I mean, again, there's a reason for that, right? What was it back in the 70s? I could be wrong. Somebody can look this up and correct me tomorrow, but I think it was the 70s when they did the five monkeys with the ladder and the water and the bananas.
They put the bananas
up. Yeah. For those who haven't heard this, I'll make it quick. But they put five monkeys in a room. They put bananas up on top of a ladder, and they had water prepared. The scientists had water prepared. You know, I know some will not like this because it's cruelty to animals, but they just got wet and it's fine. So anyway, up the ladder they go, timidly, the first couple. And boom, they get doused with water as soon as they approach the bananas.
Ice cold water.
So, I mean, a lot of it from what I've read and I've heard this story about like 10 different times, but so, and this was an actual study, a scientific study. So, and behavior, right? Yep. So behavior and neuroscience and our alignment with, you know, certain types of monkeys, of course. So they do this a couple of different times to the point where I think it was four of the five experienced this. And so then what they did was they took the fifth that hadn't reacted. They removed that monkey from the cage or the office, you know, study, the place. And the next day, the lab, and they brought another monkey in who was completely unaware of all of this. And so the other monkey is clearly looking around going, well, you guys are daft. Like, what the hell's going on? There's a whole bunch of bananas up there. You guys aren't even going after them. And as the monkey starts to go up the ladder, the other four attack the monkey to hold it back because they knew what was coming. Right. And so if you liken that even, and that was a long way around for me to even say, if you liken that even to your more negative thoughts, right, we can program ourselves to the point where we can see nothing but negative thoughts. And our unconscious mind is completely flooded with everything to the point that the minute we even consider a positive thought, we everything else attacks. Right. And there's no way for us to get through it unless we're willing to sit back, take a look at it, and start to systematically kind of reprogram. And that's, I mean, that's what I do, is reprogram the mind to be able to understand all of those things and move on from them, right? And be more supportive.
One of the dangerous parts of that study too, in what, like, I guess, you know, to not overuse this term, but the nefarious part of this is it was kind of the behavior, is that the monkeys that were, or the chimpanzees that were substituted, they didn't know why they weren't
right
climbing the ladder. They just knew that they weren't supposed to, that every time that they tried to climb the ladder, like, or the new monkey, it would get beaten.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it never experienced the water. So it never really knew. So then and that study goes further, Joe, because they replaced all of the monkeys eventually. So they brought in that other monkey that hadn't been, you know, that hadn't climbed the ladder yet. And that monkey, that chimpanzee knew what was going on. Anyway, so with the spraying of the water. So when they replaced the other four monkeys, right, and you know, they stopped the chimpanzee from climbing up and this, that, and the other. But none of the other chimpanzees understood why they weren't supposed to go up there. They just knew that they weren't. And they knew that there was a negative stimuli if they tried to go up. But I think that that's where a lot of us are right now, is the fact that we're conditioned to believe that we can't do this because, right, that we're not supposed to do it this way, that we can't do it this way, and that it's hard, and that it's got to be, you know, no pain, no gain, and that it's but it's because of the last 30 years, and you alluded to it early, and we'll finish off with this, but the diet industry and the corporate machine, the billion-dollar industry right now that is nutrition and mindfulness and, you know, self-betterment, that's the thing. It's a pre-existing belief that it has to be more difficult than it is, and it has to be something grandiose. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got to be this massive change that has to happen, and it's got to be, you know, fireworks, and it's got to happen at a weekend $1,000 or $2,000 retreat, and you know, all of this stuff is crazy. Really, at the end of the day, when you look at the people that have made significant changes in their lives in regards to betterment, it happened over days, it happened over weeks, months, and years, but it's the day-to-day grind. And the analogy that I love using is the dentist, right? You go to the dentist, say you go three times a year for cleaning. Your teeth are going to rot out of your head because you're not doing the daily brushing. It's the daily brushing. And then when you go for your three times a year for the cleaning, it's a validation for the brushing. The dentist will say, your teeth are phenomenal. You're doing a fantastic job. Well done. So it's a validation. Okay. And this is where we as coaches step in, is we're not, you know, we're not driving the bus on any of this. What we're here to do is to act as guides and validators for the behavior, so that when someone steps out, and like myself as a coach, I used to be a personal trainer. The job was to get under an uncomfortable weight, and then they get under and they can't lift it as many times as they thought. They, you know, in their mind, they're going in and like, oh, I'm going to be able to do this weight. So say I wanted them to do 10 reps, and they go in and they do two. They're feeling defeated. And I'm like, wow, I only expected you to do one. That's phenomenal. And you're going to be able to do 10 if you stick with it. Right. So that's our job, Joe. That's is to put people in uncomfortable situations and encourage them along the way, so that they're going to see, right, like you talk about those goals and the map, they're going to see that, yes, I'm going to get 10. I'm going to be able to lift that 10 times. If I keep doing this, right? So the goal is there, but you got to get under the weight. And I find a lot of people, they're avoiding the weight. They don't want to get under the weight.
No question.
Or they that they're holding on to, but they need to put that down and they need to pick up another weight. And we're there to help them. We're there to help them identify, because you.
Well, and they've also spent all this time listening to the massive marketing machine, and a handful of celebrities that have been paid very handsomely to tell them that all they need is this one quick fix, right? But not to end this on a negative, but you know, that's what I see every single day. Is I can throw all the science and studies and, you know, and real life experiential learning, if you want, that I've been through in my life, and I can throw that at people. But if they've seen a celebrity standing on TV saying, you know, reframing a meme or a saying from someone from 200 years ago in their own words, you know, and then tell them to take a pill instead, you know, they're going to take the pill. And sadly, yeah, that's, you know, that's just how it is. But, you know, we have to keep spreading this message and being able to help people, you know, through the encouragement and understanding that they can do this, whatever the change is, whatever they want to do, be or have, they can have it. And I firmly Absolutely. Believe that. I've yeah. not yet met any one single person, and I'm going back 49 years, not just in the past, you know, 5+ years of this practice. I'm talking, you know, in 49 years of all the people that I've met in my life, I have not yet met one single person that I ever felt could not achieve something.
Right.
Same here. But yeah. you have to be willing to understand that and believe that.